There's a term that's going out, or it's been, you've heard it before, and they use it in the economic circles, they use it, psychiatrists use it, and counselors use it, and people dealing with people who are grieving, they'll use this term. But you ever heard of the term a new normal? A new normal. And basically what it means is your life goes through, or life will hit you, and there's a change that will come, and you got a new normal. I mean, you used to live like this and flow like this and do this 8 hours a day or whatever, and now you got to turn around and change. And the example that comes to my head was, I think about when I was in college. And I was in college, and I was at Clemson, and I had a free ride, had a scholarship. You got 3 meals a day, you know, and then you can go get snacks and stuff. And so I wasn't worried about food. I wasn't worried about rent. I wasn't worried about, I mean, they gave you some stipend money and stuff like that. And so you can go get your clothes and all that stuff. And so it's almost like carefree, you know. And so and all you had to do is go to school and play football. And so, I mean, it don't get no better than that, you know what I mean? And so you're having fun. You cutting up, laughing, hollering, staying up late, ruining everything, you know, just go eat. Eat till you fall out, and then go back, you know, and have fun. I ain't got to worry about no bills. January come, February come, March come, so it ain't no big deal. You know, you just happy. You know, you run around, hey, everything's cool. You know what I mean? I got married my sophomore year. I had a redshirt year, but my sophomore year in college, me and Jackie got married, had 2 kids. Now, I go from, ain't got no bills, ain't got no problems, you know, eat when you want to eat, sleep when you want to sleep. I mean, you know, the whole 9 yards, you're doing this, and all of a sudden, bam, I'm married and I got kids. I got bills. I mean, your whole life, I mean, everything just kind of changed. You know, you go to the refrigerator, you know, and ain't nothing in there, you know what I mean? And so life changed on you, you know what I mean? And you got to get up, you know, baby get you. Mom used to jump up early in the morning. I mean, just, you got to, everything changed. And it becomes a new normal. I mean, it's a new thing God took me into. It's a new normal. And so I got to get used to that format. I got to get used to it. It's a new thing. God's taking us into a new thing. And so that new normal, that's one of the things I heard this past week when I was just saying, love you. I kind of heard God talking. He said, new normal. If you will follow me, remember how Jesus says, follow me? If you will follow me, I'm going to take you into a new normal. The Bible talks about new wine and new wineskins. God's taking you into a new place, a new level, a new normal. So I'm going to touch on just a few things real quick. One, a new normal, faith. I'm gonna take you into a new normal of faith. I used to cry, and it's okay when you're beginning as a Christian, you start out as a Christian, you're a baby Christian. It talks about that. You're a baby, when I was a child, I acted as a child, all right? Well, you get saved, you're brand new. And as a baby, babies cry. Young kids cry. And that's okay. That's okay to cry, all right? God wants you to mature, and he wants you to get to a place where you don't have tears of doubt all the time. Crying. And not physically, I'm talking about crying tears of doubt. And what I mean by that is I, when I first got started with Christian Walk, I saw God my first year. I saw God do miracles in my life. I saw God change things, do things, and I would pray and things would happen. I saw it. I saw it in the 5th year of my walk with Jesus. I saw God do stuff. Yeah, I saw it in the 10th year of my walk with Jesus. I saw it in the 15th year. I saw God do stuff. And God was doing stuff. And I mean, God never failed me. He provided, opened doors. He made a way. And so on. But it seemed like everything. And when God would do that, I was like, okay, God, you did this. I know you did this. I ain't never going to doubt you again. And I was like, okay. And then something to come up, a bill will come up, somebody will say something, something go down, your job's on the line, or something like that, and then I said, God, are you going to come through? I don't know if you're going to make it. Tears of doubt. I'm crying. And my prayers are quick, and I hope you make it out. And I'm crying. And it finally got to the place, Van, I need to take you to a new place. Will you trust me? Where whatever you're facing, whatever comes your way, a new normal, instead of you saying, we're going to make it. We're going to get through a new normal. Place in faith. Does that make sense? I mean, God's going to take you to, I don't know if y'all cry. Apparently y'all don't cry, okay? Y'all don't have tears of doubt. Y'all ain't worried about nothing, okay? I'm sorry, I just me. But God will get you to a place. He'll take you to a holy place where you'll trust him. You'll be like the disciples in the Bible. They get in a rough spot, and they begin to give him praise. You know you're getting there when things get rough and you start praising God. You know you got a ways to go. I'm the one that when you start murmuring and complaining, God, where you going to? And that's okay. God can deal with you. It ain't no problem. But he wants to get you to a place where you have faith in him, a whole new level. There's a place of faith he wants to take you. There's a place of fear he wants to take you. Solomon summed the whole Bible up like this. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. There's a place he wants to get you where you respect him, you fear him. That's why I won't. There's certain places I won't go. What I mean by places I won't go, I won't go too far in unrepentance. You know, I'm the first one. I get mad, I get angry, I get upset, and I mess up. And you've heard me talk about this before. I used to walk all the way down there mad, and then I turn around and come back. Now, I'll be mad, but I ain't gonna stay mad too long. Yeah, I'm scared to be away from God. I'm scared to be away from God. I'd walk around. A kid run from their parent. You know, they run from them. And, you know, little kids, they be taking off me, running from them. Leave me alone. I don't run from God. I'm scared. I want to stay as close as I can to him. Repent, forgive. I want to stay close. All right. New normal. I think God has a new normal for us. If you keep following him, he has a new normal. He's going to take, I don't know what that might be, but he's going to take you in a whole new setting, whole new scene where you begin to walk into stuff. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to talk. This is just 5 minutes, and I'm going to give you a chance. I hope it works. We'll give you 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes. I want you to hear it, and then I'm going to ask you questions. And what I'm going to do, hopefully if this works, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. And I'm going to be coming at you. And I'm going to act like I'm an unbeliever or somebody who's on the line, and I'm going to ask you questions, and you get to respond, you get to talk. Is that okay? All right, good. See if this works. I'm going to...
After 16 and a half long years on death row, Billy Moore's execution date was set for May 24th, 1984. No more appeals, no more court dates, no more postponements. Then a few weeks before his execution, he says there was one thing he felt the Lord told him to do. Write a letter of apology to his victim's family.
Write somebody and apologize to kill their father or their brother, their uncle. It's a little simple one. If you can find it in your heart to forgive me, I would appreciate it. But if you don't, I understand, because I don't forgive you either. If I was you, I wouldn't do it either. I began to get letters back when they wrote me back and said they're Christian people and that they forgive me. When I wrote them back, telling them that I would appreciate what they did, they wrote me back and it started a correspondence that we were writing every week.
The day finally arrived when Billy was taken to the death watch cell. He would stay there for 72 hours before being led to the electric chair.
When I went to the captain's office, he said, "There's an execution warrant, you gotta read it." That makes sense, Farmer. Then it says, "After we cure you, what do you want us to do with your body? We can bury you here, or your family can come and get your body." It's like you preparing for somebody else's funeral, but it's yours.
Fear flooded Billy's mind as he walked to the death watch cell.
I got this man about actual executions, what has happened to certain people when they were executed, how their eyes would pop out of their head, how their teeth would shatter, and how the skin would catch on fire, and how it would defecate on themselves. And all of this is going through my mind. It's like, God, is this going to happen? When the current hits, is it going to immediately kill me? Or am I going to linger on?
Billy tried his best to stay calm. He read his Bible, but the intense pain of what was to come distracted him from focusing on God.
The smell in this period, you can smell the antiseptic, but you also smell the burning of flesh. You can smell death in there.
Billy did his best to focus on the Lord and remain calm. Then something occurred that instantly turned his focus into fury. It was a letter from Billy's ex-wife, explaining that Billy Jr. was not, in fact, his son.
After reading that, it was like I was just hit in the stomach by Mike Tyson. It's like this, all the air just came out, and it's like, I'm just gonna have a heart attack and die.
As he struggled to get control of his thoughts, Billy says the Lord spoke audibly to him, "You shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord."
I said, "Lord, is this you? Are you telling me that I am not re-executed?" I'm saying, "God, how do I stand on this? How do I make this sign?" And it comes, little faith comes by hearing. I said, "Okay, I get it. I got to say this." So I'm walking back and forth in the cell, saying, "Jesus said I should not die, but live, declare the works of the Lord." God said, "What did you say?" I said, "Jesus said I should not die, but live, declare the works of the Lord." He said, "What makes you think you're going to live and your friends die?" I said, "Jesus said I shouldn't have died, but live and declare the works of the Lord."
The guards began preparing Billy for execution. They were about to shave his head. Suddenly, they were interrupted.
The sergeant came out of the office and said, "What are y'all doing, young?" He said, "We're going to shave his head." He said, "No, you're not. I just got a phone call from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeal."
Billy had received a stay of execution. 7 hours and 15 minutes before the scheduled time. What Billy didn't know was that his victim's family not only forgave him, but they, along with local groups, petitioned the courts to set Billy free. He spent 6 more years in prison. Then, on November 8, 1991, Billy was released. He is now married and an ordained minister who travels the globe speaking about the power of forgiveness. He remains in contact with his victim's family and Billy Jr.
Christ forgave me in the same way and the same power that he has forgiven me. It's sent it to everyone. A lot of people think that I'm special and God done something special for me, but when we look at it, he did something special for all of us when he died on the cross. And as he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
What you think? All right, ready? Y'all ready to answer me? Okay. Now, we kind of know what he's, the whole gist of it. What do you think he's talking about? What do you think he, when he gets to get a chance to talk, what do you think he talks about?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Things he talks about, forgiveness. All right, I'm getting ready to mess with you. I need you to talk to me. All right, here you get to preach, you get to talk, all right? Here you go, you're going to be on tape, okay, all right? All right, here we go. I'm going to play devil. Now listen, wait a minute. I know some people who were on death row, and they died. How come he got off? God didn't have a special job for Joe over there, my friend?
He might have already done his job. I'm not sure.
He wasn't chosen.
He wasn't chosen? Oh, so God just sit there and chose people. Oh, I like you, David. I don't like you over here.
Maybe he didn't
listen.
Sometimes
he does. Yes.
Maybe he didn't listen.
Maybe he didn't listen. Rick.
Yeah, the world looks at this life as the ultimate. We're back to this place. And there's a lot of sorrow. He blessed the guys that he allowed them to be killed. They're in heaven. I mean, if they knew him. So, death is not punishment. It is a massive reward. We live for trillions of years in God's peace. And C.S. Lewis says, we drink. When we get to heaven, we drink from the fountain of joy. That's not happiness.
He killed the father and the son. He killed. So that would be if he killed somebody that was in the family. If that person had killed somebody, your father and your son, would you forgive?
I hope so.
How many? Don't raise your hand. How about? But would you forgive? I'm just asking. Would you forgive? Could you let it go? So the letter comes to you, hey, listen, I'm the one. You went through court, you went through, you got, it was, he's the one who did it. Letter comes to you and says, hey, I don't know if it's in your heart, but can you forgive me? Would you let it go?
How long was it before the letter, from the death to the letter?
I think he
it takes time.
Yeah, it had been some years. It had been a number of years before that he had been in. So. Could you let it go?
I want to thank you well, but I don't know that in my joyous heart that I would want to. But I think that fear that you're talking about, where it says if you don't forgive people, I'm not. Why should I forgive you when you die and you're walking in heaven? Because you're not perfect and if you're not willing to forgive somebody else, why should I forgive you? So I think I'd probably work real hard at it due to fear, not because I wanted.
Did you know, well, I don't know if you caught it there, it says that they kept writing. They pushed the court to get him to get them to take him off death row. Would you do that? Makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, here's where I'm coming. I'm coming from this point. Somebody might do you. Somebody might hurt you. Might hurt you bad. Here's the question. Can you forgive? Can he take you into this new norm of forgiveness? Because there's some hurt out there. There's some stuff out there. I used to think I could get away. I used to think because I'm a Christian and I pray, God is going to keep it off of me. Guess what I done found out? Jimmy, he ain't keeping nothing off me. Matter of fact, he might throw a little bit more on you. Are you ready? Are you ready to forgive? I don't know if something's there. I don't know if something's coming. Well, I know something's coming. But God wants us in a place. Their forgiveness opened a big blessing. Now this man going around, he's preaching, he's ministering, he's touching people. I was meeting with Abby and Missy, and one of the things I'd asked him, I said, what? You can't take anything with you to heaven but one thing. One of my joys, most of you know Noel. I get to take him with me. I get to go to heaven. When I met Noel, he wasn't going. He was on the path that way, going down, totally. God used me to touch him. I get to take him with me. You can only take the souls you touch with you. You can't take anything else. That's what it's about. God's going to take us to a new normal so that we can touch people's lives. Does that make sense? A little bit of sense? Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Father, help us to know how to forgive people. This is a hard place. This is a hard thing, but show us how to do it, Father, and to do it with grace and with mercy. Thank you. Thank you for loving us and for forgiving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, y'all, be blessed. Have a good Labor Day.